Sammy, I'm sure you can't believe how happy I am to have you here today for Song of the Soul.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, because of the Foxes and Fossils videos, I've seen your face since you were 15 and on, and it makes me happy every time I see it. Did you ever think you were going to be into a musical career?
Not particularly, really, especially one that's gone the trajectory that this has. You know, if you think of being a famous singer or whatever, you think of like Kacey Musgraves or kind of a regular career, but this has definitely been like a strange way to enter into the music business, I guess, especially with how big the following is on YouTube and stuff.
I know that you're doing a master's in journalism now up in Boston at the university there. But had you ever considered just trying to get some kind of degree so you were actually a performing musician?
Not really, funnily enough. I love to sing. The idea of fame is a little off-putting to me, and kind of the idea of being a celebrity. I think it's, while the reward is great, it's also pretty tough, especially nowadays, just being in the spotlight like that. So this is a nice kind of blend, I guess. I still get to sing and perform, but I don't have to deal too much with the celebrity side of things.
I have you here today because of John Prine's recent passing and because you do such an amazing job on Angel from Montgomery. What was your connection to John Prine's music? Where did John Prine come into your life?
So funnily enough, I don't remember at least listening to a lot of him when I was really young. I think it probably started in late high school, early college, and it was mostly because of other artists that I listened to who would cite him as kind of an inspiration for them. I mean, I love like Kacey Musgraves and Jason Isbell and those kinds of artists, and Brandi Carlile, and they all cite John Prine as a big influence on them. So I would hear that and kind of be like, who's this guy? And went and listened to his stuff and was really blown away just by his ability to kind of capture the human spirit in a really simple but meaningful way.
And with a humorous twist, or with a twist that makes people both smile and grimace at the same time. Are there other songs besides Angel from Montgomery that particularly appeal to you?
Yeah, I was trying to think of kind of my favorites. I really like Souvenirs. There's a really nice little duet he does with Iris Dement. It's called Inspired Ourselves. I think that one's really nice. It's really funny. Right around the time he passed, I listened to When I Get to Heaven a lot, just because it became kind of really, it's so funny and so sweet and bittersweet now that he's gone. And I really hope he's got that cigarette and cocktail up in heaven, you know, just enjoying his time. So I listened to that one a lot recently too.
Humor is not everyone's gift or not everyone's blessing. That is to say, there are a lot of people who humor can go right over their head. Is your household a humorous household? Is Tim, your father, the kind of, I think, force behind Foxes and Fossils? Is humor a big thing there?
He would like to think so, I think. He's funny. Yeah, we definitely joke around a lot, and we've spent so much time together over the past few months, just with the pandemic and everything and everyone being stuck inside, that I think we've had to try to find new ways to be humorous towards one another so we don't just like get sick of each other every day. But it's been good. He's a funny guy. He's got some jokes.
And did you get the gift from him?
The gift of humor?
Right. Let's hear your one-liner stand-up joke. Go for it.
I am not a stand-up comedian. I think that's probably the hardest thing you can do. Like, you know, with music and with acting and that kind of stuff, you have something to hide behind a little bit. You have a guitar, you have a voice, but a stand-up comic just has to be funny. And that's really hard. It's really hard to just be yourself and make people laugh. So I think those guys are the real heroes.
I want to ask you just a few more words about Angel from Montgomery, and then we're going to play it. And again, this is a recording done with you and several other people. You're in one space, and a few of them are doing instruments and vocals as your backup band. Tell me about the other people who are part of this. Your dad's in there, so there's Tim Purcell, and?
So we've also got Scott King. So there are a couple guys from my dad's band, the Mustangs, which he's had since, I think, before I was born at this point. So there's a couple guys from there. So there's Scott and Toby, plays lead guitar, and also Darwin, who is my dad's good childhood friend, who plays with us as well. Johnny Pike on drums, Keeping It Down Like a Clock. And then we've also got Maggie Adams, who we grew up together and went to the same schools and sang together in church, choir, and stuff like that. So she's been doing it since the beginning. And when she went to college, she's a year older than me. So when she went to college, we added a new member of the band, Chase, to come sing with us. And she's a bit younger than the rest of us. But if you heard her sing, you wouldn't be able to tell. It's insane. Those are all of us. And it's been a wild 10 years, just kind of with everyone going in and out and getting to know everyone better.
I love the song Angel from Montgomery, but I'm still trying to figure out why. Because when I listen to the lyrics, I think I know what an angel from Montgomery is. I think that's a pardon coming from the governor. I don't know if you even knew that. People just think, well, it's an angel, right? But angel from Montgomery is when a stay of execution is sent to someone on death row. So what does this song mean to you? You do it with such heart and beauty, and yet I think all of us have our doubts about what it means.
I think so too. You know, listening to Bonnie Raitt sing it and listening to John Prine sing it are two different kind of animals, because when he's singing it and the first thing you hear is, I am an old woman, you're kind of like, what? No, you're not. But I think that's kind of one of his gifts, right? Is he is able to channel emotion past his own identity, which I think is a really tricky thing to do and can go really wrong, but he is somehow able to do it. So I guess when I was singing it, I was just trying to think of the old woman side of it and try to channel that as much as I could, because that's not who I am either at this point, at least not yet.
At 25, we kind of hope you're not an old woman yet.
Yeah. But it can definitely be read a bunch of different ways. But I think I took it when I was singing it a little more literally and tried to really listen to what this old woman was feeling about her relationships and about her life. And I think a good word to use is weary. So I tried to sound as tired and weary and worn out as possible.
That must be hard for a vivacious person like you. The smile and thumbs up you give at the end of the video is just like, oh, don't we all love, and just this woman is just apple pie and better.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we're going to go right into it here today for Song of the Soul. Again, we've been speaking with Sammy Purcell. She's part of a group that performs mostly covers in the area of Atlanta, Georgia. The group is called Foxes and Fossils. She's one of the foxes from the young end of the group, and her dad, Tim Purcell, is one of those fossils that is a wonderful performer as well. Here is Sammy Purcell doing Angel from Montgomery. Again, thank you so much, Sammy.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, kitchen, and I can hear him buzzing. And I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning, come home in the evening with nothing to say? Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one.
Such a